Thanks everyone so much for tuning in. I love that even though we're all in our homes that we can connect in this way. It's so amazing. This message today is called No Trespassing. It's a message that I've had on my heart for a while and I've just been saving it up, waiting for the right time. And I really believe that this is the right time, that there are many people that this is going to speak right to your situation. I know for me it was just another great reminder, and it's a message that that has really spoke to me and helped me move forward in my faith. And so I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you today. This message, No Trespassing. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you weren't meant to be? I remember my parents sharing a story about how when they traveled through Europe and they were in France and they were traveling in a combi van with two preschoolers. My mum was pregnant with me, which sounds like a total disaster. And one day they needed to get out of the van and they found this beautiful spot for a picnic. They thought it was a lovely park. And they sat there and found this gorgeous tree, set up a picnic, and just were really proud of themselves for finding such a great spot. And then a school bell rang and out flooded multiple French children, and they realized that they were not supposed to be there. And you know, when it comes to our thinking, and often in times like this, we can find ourselves with thoughts that really aren't supposed to be there. I want you to imagine for a moment that your father has given you some land. So you've just inherited some land. It's a big piece of land. Then is the uptake, is that the father's responsibility or is that yours? Well, that would be yours, right? You're now the new owner. You inherited this land. And, you know, I want you to imagine that your mind is a big, beautiful piece of land. That land was given to you by your father, it's your inheritance, and you get to, he's now given you free reign. You can grow whatever you want to grow on it. It can be as fruitful or as uncluttered or as messy as you choose. It's your land, it's up to you. Now, if someone walked onto that land, that would be trespassing. If they were an old friend, you'd be like, yeah, come on in. If it was someone that meant no harm, that would be fine. But if someone came onto your land and their intent was to harm, then all of a sudden, what would naturally happen is that you would stand in your authority as the owner of the land and you would tell that person where to go. You know, the law is on your side and you would take that stand. Now, so many times I know that I've found myself in like places where, like on someone else's property, and I was quite ignorantly there, and mainly it was because there were no boundaries and no signs that told me that I couldn't be there. And in the same way with our mind and with our thinking, if we don't have boundaries up, then anyone and anything can wander on in undetected. Now, our boundaries in our mind, when I want you to think about like what you want to grow there, what you don't want to grow there, what thoughts you want to allow in your mind and what thoughts you don't want to have in your mind. Once you've come up with that, that's really like having boundaries in the land that is your mind, so that then when you see something that isn't supposed to be there, you can be like, hang on a minute, you're not supposed to be there. Anyone and anything can enter through. You know, I know that none of us want our minds to be full of negative and destructive thinking. None of us want our minds to be full of weeds and thorns, but to be full of trees that bear good fruit. Trees like good fruit, like kindness, like perspective, like wisdom, like gratitude. The kind of fruit that not only blesses us, but blesses many around us. You know, we're living in a real interesting time in history. It's a time that's going to be remembered, it's going to be documented, and right now it's uncertain. We don't know what the future will bring, we don't know how long this is going to last, and you know, uncertainty is really the perfect environment for these destructive thoughts to grow. It's like a greenhouse for destructive thoughts. It's an environment where fear, where worry, where doubt, where intimidation can take root. And it's a time where more than ever, we need, what is required is boundaries when it comes to our thinking. Trespass signs need to go up. And it's time as the owner and the caretaker of that land that we actually take a stand and say, hey, I know what I'm trying to grow here and I know what I'm not. But, you know, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Like, it's not that easy to control our minds. if you're watching this and you've been trying to get your head right for a while and maybe you're tired, I just wanted to say, I so get it. I so get it. The struggle is real. But you know what? Something that really encourages me is that even King David, who was known as a man after God's own heart, he struggled with these things too. It says in Psalm 13, verse 2, he said, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and have sorrow in my heart?" You know, I can personally feel like less of a Christian when I'm trying to like get a hold of my thoughts and my mind. But hey, if David, who was set apart as a guy who pleased God greatly, if he struggled with it, then hey, I think I'm okay and you're okay too. The struggle is real, but the wrestle is worth it. Okay, so we have, in my opinion, our two biggest trespasses as they are the enemy and ourselves. And you know, I honestly think that we're the bigger problem. You know, our enemy, he whispers lies which plant little seeds of bitterness, of resentment, of jealousy, of doubt, and he plants those in our land. Any thoughts that lead you away from Jesus, you can count on the origin of them being from him. But you know, every time we give those things our attention, we're actually watering them. And we're allowing them to take root and we're growing them. And so he may whisper them and plant those little seeds, but we're the ones that give it our attention, water it, allow it to be there. And then when it takes root and sets up camp, we wonder why it is we can't get rid of that thinking. So we're the bigger problem. You know, I will be honest and tell you that I'm not a massive fan of the spotlight. Like, I never wake up thinking, I know, I want to be on thousands of people's screens today. I never wake up thinking, I want to be in front of a big crowd of people today. That is not what I think. And even though I've come a really long way, I still find it incredibly uncomfortable. But, you know, thankfully, I don't surrender to my comfort. I surrender to Jesus. So even though I'm aware of these vulnerabilities, I make sure that I'm surrendering to Jesus and not to them. There's an amazing story, and it's in the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was called by God to go back to Jerusalem. He was in exile, and to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. It was an amazing feat, an amazing task, a really big job. And he had some great opposition. There was a group of men who were his enemies, and they did not want him or the people to succeed in this challenge of rebuilding the walls. And so they came at them with all kinds of threats. And in Nehemiah 4 verse 12, it says, "Then the Jews who lived near them, near the enemies, came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. It says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall and at the exposed places." We all have our own struggles. We all have our own vulnerabilities when it comes to our thinking. I shared one of mine with you just before. It's in those areas that we need to keep our eyes and our attention on them. We need to keep watch for any trespasses, because why would the enemy come in the lowest parts of the wall? Because it's the most strategic. It's the easiest place to get in. Your vulnerabilities and your thinking is the easiest place for him to get in. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it says that we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. So when that thinking comes in, we don't need to freak out. We don't need to freak out at all. We can just come back at it with, hey, I don't surrender to you. I surrender to Jesus. I'm going to take my attention away from you and I'm going to focus it on thoughts that actually bear good fruit. So once we've done that, we're going to have to get a plan. So what do we do with the kind of thinking that has like become a stronghold in our mind? My wonderful father-in-law, who's gone to be with Jesus, he shared a story with me about a time where they had sold up all of their homes in Wellington. They'd worked really hard, done up their home, sold it, and were moving to Queensland. And he had bought a home in Queensland, and they moved over really excited to go check out this house. It was a fixer-upper. And when they went in, to his great surprise, it was full of people. People had seen an empty house and moved on in and were living in it. And, you know, in Queensland, there's actually a thing called squatters' rights where you actually can't just kick them out. There's a process that you have to go through to get them evicted. And, you know, destructive thinking that has become a stronghold in our mind is the same. You have to go through a process to evict them. It's to build long-term memory. It takes about 21 days, apparently. This is research. It takes around 21 days with daily deliberate mind thinking and work. And to turn a new thinking into a habit, into the conscious mind to impact how you function, takes another 42 days. Hey, so most of us are in lockdown. No better time to start this process, right? If it takes 21 days or 21 plus 42, which is 63 days to get our thinking right, then why don't we start now? Let's give those thoughts the eviction notice. After all, it's your land and you get to decide what grows there. You know, every responsible person at the moment is practicing social distancing, or as we all prefer to call it, physical distancing, because we're all still socializing and connecting, but physical distancing. And so I want to talk about thought distancing. So once we have determined what we want to grow in our land and what we don't, once we have handed those thoughts that don't line up, that don't make the cut at the eviction notice, because we don't want those things growing there, they're destructive, they're causing us harm and our family harm, once we've handed them that eviction notice, then we need to practice thought distancing. What is thought distancing? It's literally that. It's distancing your attention from those thoughts. It's choosing other things that are better, choosing things that you want to grow. You're gonna give your attention to that and not to those things. And just that practice of thought distancing is actually going to starve those things, and they're going to wither up and die. The roots are going to loosen and the stronghold is going to become weak. So that's really exciting. In Philippians 4 verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things." So when we give our attention to the good things that are going to bear good fruit, and we starve the thoughts that are going to tear down and going to pull us away from Jesus, that's the plan. And you might be wondering, but Katie, how do I even recognize a trespassing thought? What even is that? What is a negative thought? How do I know what should be there and what shouldn't be there? Well, thoughts that tear down, thoughts that turn you away from others, thoughts that cause fear, anxiety, depression, worry, thoughts that entertain temptation, thoughts that really stroke your pride, thoughts like, I would keep an eye out on thoughts that tell you what you deserve. You know, not all of those thoughts are bad, but I would keep an eye on that. And mostly thoughts that draw you away from Jesus. Those are the destructive thoughts. Those are the trespassing thoughts that you've got to give a notice. Can I encourage you, wherever you are right now, whether this is something that you've been really struggling with or just like a fresh reminder, can I encourage you? Would you step into the role of ownership that your Father in heaven has given you as owner and caretaker of the land that is your mind? Would you really step into that position? And there are four, here's the four-step process. Evaluate the land, number one. Evaluate the condition of the land. Number two, put up the boundaries by deciding what you want to grow there and what you don't want to grow there. Three, would you keep a watch over the areas that you're most vulnerable, the wall, the parts of the wall that's the most exposed? And four, would you hand the eviction notice to the thoughts that have become a stronghold? And once and for all, you can get your mind in a place that you were created to have it. You were created to have a mind that is full of peace, full of good fruit, a mind that is a nice place to be in, a mind that others would want to come to because they know that that's a great place. You know, as followers of Jesus, I really believe that we've been positioned in this time to be a source of strength to others. And we can only be that source of strength when we have a healthy mind and a healthy heart. You know, it says that I just really believe that the great news is that we don't have to do this journey alone. It says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." You know, that spirit comes on us the moment that we begin a relationship with Jesus and invite him into our heart. And once we've experienced and received that spirit then empowers us to do more than we ever could on our own. You know, I'm able to get my mind healthier than I ever could on my own. I'm able to do more and overcome more than I ever could have on my own. And this same spirit is available to you this morning. Maybe the best thing and the only thing you need to hear from me today is that God loves you. He loves you and he made a way for you, and that way is Jesus. And through Jesus, you can actually come to him just as you are, and you can find acceptance, you can find forgiveness, you can find redemption, you can find hope. Everything you're looking for, I believe, is found in Jesus. And you don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to change anything about who you are to begin a relationship with him. All you need to do is to believe in him and put your faith in him and invite him into your heart. If you're making that decision now as you're watching this, that's incredible. We'd really love to support you through this journey, and you can reach out to one of our online hosts, or you can put up a virtual hand. And what we're going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer and you can join in this prayer. You can repeat after me out loud, or you could repeat after me in your head or in your heart. And this is a beautiful, beautiful day, and I'm so thankful to be part of it. So would you join in after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my old life and I invite you to make me new. Today I choose to trust you and to follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening and for tuning in. We're about to go to some worship now, and I just really want to encourage you again. Would you reach out? Don't do this journey alone. I'm so thankful that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, that he's not far from you, but he's with you. Let's do this together.